This has been 2 days ago. You know, it's like 90 degrees and 80% humidity a couple days ago, right? Fattest thing. I'm not as fat as I used to be, but obviously I'm still obese, right? Liz goes, pick up something for you and Axel on the way home. We're coming home from football practice. Now, I wear three layers because I want to get a good sweat going. And boy, I sweated my ass off on Tuesday. So I go get four tacos for me, four tacos for the Axeman. And Axel went upstairs. I go, you take a shower first. I'll sit here. And I'm like, well, I got to get to bed at some point here. So I'm going to eat these tacos. And I'm shirtless. I'm in nothing but shorts and a shirt. Because I don't want my sweaty shirt while I'm trying to eat these Taco Bell tacos, right? I'll just call it out what it is. They're delicious. Nathan Zagura joins us right now on the fan hotline. So I'll tell Nathan this story too. So I'm shirtless and I look over and Liz is not in her office. Or Liz is in her office and I go, stay in your office. She goes, why?
I don't see this depravity.
I'm going to be eating tacos shirtless and I don't want you to see this. Axel comes downstairs. He's like, why aren't you wearing a shirt? I go, because I was sweaty and I threw it in the laundry room and I'm going to go upstairs and take a shower after I eat. And then as I'm eating the tacos, I'm not wearing a shirt. I take a bite and some of the meat and taco sauce spill on my bare gut.
Does it collect anywhere?
And I'm like cleaning it up on my bare gut. I look like Bobby Hill from King of the Hill when he's smearing the chocolate all over himself.
Quinn, if you're listening, please make this
an image. And I'm going,
let's see some AI imagery to this, please.
Everything I do, I'm very conservatively dressed all the time. I won't leave the master bedroom. And here I am at 39 years old pulling the fattest thing I've ever done. As hard as you work, you still go right back to square one. Hello, Nathan.
That's a heck of an image and an incredible way to start.
You should have seen it,
Ken.
You should have seen it.
I want to know, though, because you didn't. The one question I had was when you scraped the meat off of your body that had been probably dripping with sweat, did you eat that meat?
No, I cleaned it with a napkin. Nathan, I was a bowl of spaghetti.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
I was a bowl of spaghetti away from the guy in seven. That's how I look.
He wouldn't have thrown that meat out.
If Kevin Spacey would have been there, I would have had some other questions at dinner time, but we'll leave that there. All right, Nathan, good morning to you. How has Shedeur Sanders looked at camp? You know that's the first question.
I think he's looked really good, honestly. I think that he has a real ability to climb the pocket, keep his eyes downfield. He's an excellent deep ball thrower. His intermediate throws have been very good. He can throw with anticipation. I've been very impressed by him. Very impressed by him. Now, that's all the stuff that's, you know, between the lines. I think that we know going into this that there was a lot of work that had to be done, whether it be in the preparation, whether it be in understanding, you know, calling plays in the huddle. These are not easy plays to call in the huddle. All of those things, that I don't know, but what I can see, I've been very impressed, and I really hope that he does get some reps with the first team going forward. I think he certainly has earned that opportunity. I think that, you know, it's tough to get four guys first team reps, so I understand why it probably hasn't happened yet, but I do think he has earned the opportunity because he throws an incredibly good ball, a very catchable ball, and he's just so accurate. His ball placement is excellent. They had a play at the end of practice the other day. He had a great rollout and a throw there kind of in that live period at the end of practice, which was, I should have been the first question, quite frankly, Ken. Can you believe there was a live tackling period in a Kevin Stefanski training camp?
Amazing.
Yes, I told you guys months ago that this was going to be a much different camp, and certainly it already is. But back to Shedeur in that hungry dogs, it's kind of the opportunity period. There was a one-on-one for the push-ups on the line. Luke Floria made a great move on kind of a deep over, got around the corner. It had to be layered in kind of over him out in front, and it was a perfect ball from Shedeur. So, yeah, I've been very, very impressed with him. And, you know, all people saying, oh, it's going to be a circus, it's going to be a circus. It's absolutely nothing. He comes in, he works really hard, and he's done a great job.
So I think that is really interesting. Nathan is saying right now that he's earned some first team reps. Obviously, he went up against the first team defense. Finally, it's only been a week. That's the one thing we've been cautioning everybody. It's so early.
Yeah, of course.
And Nathan, we are getting besieged by people all around the country because Shedeur brings with him that very passionate fan base. But I just want to stop you in your tracks. When you say, well, some of the work he needs to do that's not on the field, you mean that the classroom stuff and just that any rookie would need to get up to speed on all that stuff, right? Because when we mention that, we get crushed.
First of all, for sure. Second of all, I think people have to understand that in that kind of stuff, in the preparation, in calling the plays, in just things that the quarterback was asked to do pre-snap. Dylan Gabriel and his various stops in college was asked to do more than Shedeur was. That is no fault of Shedeur Sanders. None. That is not his fault. That's the way that things were operated at Colorado. And so he had a bigger learning curve. And I've said this many times on your guys' program as well as on my own, that he has a bigger learning curve to get there. So on the things that I can see, I would like to see what I've seen on the field translate how that works with the first team offense against the first team defense. I'd like to see him get those opportunities. And I think that, you know, there's a chance that he will going forward. There's also a chance that he will not. People have to understand Dylan Gabriel is a third round pick. Shedeur Sanders is a fifth round pick. Now, I think most people, in fact, everybody I've ever talked to would agree that Shedeur had first or second round film, even his detractors said second round. He goes in the fifth round. So the reality is, and I think people look at this through different lenses, and I've said this many times, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, Shedeur has a profile and has skills that if he can master all the other stuff, his ability to throw the football where he wants to and get it there for completions is elite. So if he can master the other stuff and know where to go with the ball, know everything he needs to do pre-snap, know everything he needs to do post-snap, and then deliver the football, he's going to be a very, very good quarterback. I think people have to realize kind of from we're all looking for the savior, right? That's kind of the quest of the Cleveland Browns. Now, typically, a third-round quarterback and a fifth-round quarterback aren't savior candidates. In fact, if Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, based on where they were drafted alone, go on to be good career backups, that's actually a very valuable pick for the Cleveland Browns to be able to have somebody that was a backup on a rookie contract, for example, for the next 3 years after this season would be incredibly valuable. And if, you know, Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders can go on and have a career like a Kilt McCoy or a Case Keenum where, yes, they're good backups, they can start some games when you need them to, they can steward it maybe at their peak, they have, you know, a couple good season starts, it's also a very good pick. But we're looking for that savior. I like what I've seen from Shedeur Sanders. I'm not saying he is that, but I'd like to see him get some opportunities because to me there is something special, and people who I trust so much about their opinions about football on tape alone would have said that he had that kind of potential. They're very smart people that actually thought he was the best quarterback in this draft. So that's where I think a lot of it comes with Shedeur, but the reality of the situation is he is a fifth-round pick. He was picked second in this draft behind Dylan Gabriel, so he's going to have to – he's got more of a learning curve, we've said that, which is off the field, and then we got to see him, you know, hopefully earn those reps as they try to navigate having four quarterbacks get reps.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the Fan Hotline. Yeah, Nathan, I totally agree with you on everything except one, like the backup quarterback thing, and it's just because of the timing right now. I mean, we are in the middle of an hysteria, and the fan base that Shedeur brings with him, they're just not going to accept that. And I think that that's why they've been really upset. They're upset by the lack of reps. They're upset because they've had a preconceived notion of the Cleveland Browns, so they believe that there's a mishandling here. But there's this buy-in that I just can't stand that says that the Browns are trying to sabotage him. And I'm going, the Browns are as desperate as anybody for a franchise quarterback. They've been looking for one since Bernie Kosar, for crying out loud. They're going to do every damn thing they can to see if they can get a franchise quarterback out of this group or the next group or the group after that.
Yeah, I think the notion that they would sabotage any quarterback that they believe has the potential to get them, you know, out of what has been, you know, a more than a quarter century odyssey to find that guy is pure foolishness. They are not sabotaging anybody. I think that one thing that you have to understand, and David Carr, the former number one overall pick in the draft, was out at camp a couple days ago, and he did an interview with Siciliano. And, you know, sometimes giving a young quarterback too much can be very detrimental to them. And so understanding that, you know, you need to be brought along at the pace. Now, I will say that Shedeur Sanders has outpaced what I think their expectations were coming in, given the big learning curve that he had. He's worked diligently. He's absorbed things much quicker than I think that they thought, or are they pleased with the rate at which he's absorbing things. And so that is all good. They're definitely not sabotaging anybody. They've got to get somebody ready to start. And I think when you look at this, the likelihood, see, the people that would say something like that are of the mindset that, man, Shedeur should have been the number two pick in the draft. And whether his talent ultimately will bear that out, I certainly hope it does. I'm a big fan of Shedeur Sanders. I was a big fan of his on tape. We talked about that back in the pre-draft process. The reality is he was a fifth-round pick in this draft. 31 other teams passed on him ad nauseum. The Browns passed on him multiple times and then took him. So he's not going to be just thrust into situations that the number two overall pick would be, even if you believe that that is his talent level. And if it is his talent level, by the way, that will be proven out in the future. Nobody is sabotaging anybody. I think it is very difficult to try to get four quarterbacks reps. I think the practices, honestly, when Pickett was down, just to get three quarterbacks reps worked was a lot easier for everybody. And Joe Flacco was on Browns Daily earlier this week, and what a tremendous human he is. And, man, does he throw a beautiful football. He was just saying it was just those days were easier. Now, I think Kenny Pickett will likely be back today. Those are not scores. That's just talking to him and seeing him around the building. I think that this was maybe an abundance of caution, and you really want to have him ready to go for those joint practices because you've got to get somebody ready to start week one. And I think when you look at that schedule, if a rookie, with a Dylan Gabriel or Shador, you know, absolutely jumped up and grabbed this job by the throat, you know, that's one thing, the way that Russell Wilson did in Seattle many years ago now. But I think the reality is when you're starting Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings, Steelers, those teams were a combined 40 games over 500 last year, that you probably want, it just feels like a tough environment to throw a rookie into. So you have to get one of these veterans, Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco, I think really ready to go week one. And so that makes it hard to give a lot of one reps to Gabriel or Shador, although Gabriel is certainly getting some.
Nathan, if you would have told me a month ago Deontay Johnson not only could make the roster but could actually be a big-time target for one of these quarterbacks, I would have been very nervous. But according to everybody who's seen him so far, this reclamation project looks like it could be taking off. What have you seen?
So two things. This is a guy who's got a 1,000-yard receiver season under his belt. He's been a Pro Bowler. When he was with the Steelers, and I would talk to some of our corners, they would say that he was the toughest guy to cover in the league because he's such a good route runner and creates separation. And we've seen that. He had a route that was it was a post stop, and then he cut it back out, kind of a double, almost even a triple move, that he created about 10 yards. It was beautiful. In fact, it reminded me, and don't everybody go crazy here, but there was a route that Odell ran early in training camp when he was with the Browns where he just completely spun the defensive back around. That's what Deontay Johnson did. He looks fantastic. I think people also forget that last year when he left Carolina, he was actually their leading receiver. So he still can be incredibly productive in this league. Obviously, there are a lot of things that happen. As he said, last year was last year. He's moving forward. I think that if he is on the right path of the right mindset from a talent standpoint, you know, he's certainly a top three receiver on this football team. And you know, the idea of being able to have Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, and Tillman out there together is very exciting. I do think we're going to play a ton of 12 personnel, but I think Deontay Johnson, you know, would be an excellent number two receiver if he continues what he's showing right now in camp. But he's consistently getting open. He's catching everything that's thrown his way. He has looked very, very impressive.
Nathan Zagura joining us here. Nathan, the running back room situation. I wanted to use Jerome Ford as a third down back. I think a lot of people obviously did, so I'm not bringing any news there. Quinshon Judkins is off the... you're not allowed to use him right now, obviously. What are we going to do here in this room with the running backs?
No, I'm just going to say what, you know, Jimmy Haslam and B. Haslam, the owner, said, which was they're cautiously optimistic that Quinshon Judkins will be here soon. And so I still think that Quinshon Judkins will be a huge part of what the Browns do in the running back room. I want to go to Jerome Ford, though, as you brought him up as a third down back. Listen, Jerome Ford last year averaged 5.2 yards a carry. He was top five in the NFL in yards per carry. He's been consistently able to hit long runs. So he really worked hard getting north-south after a couple of years where he was doing too much dancing behind the line of scrimmage. And I thought ran the ball very well for the Cleveland Browns. Dylan Sampson's got a lot of juice that is very apparent at camp, and you know, the guy was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. If you can do it in that conference, I am sure you can do it in the National Football League. So I think it's a room that they feel good about, but obviously once Judkins gets back, then you're going to be very excited about that running back room. And I can tell you the offensive line loves Coach Blomgren. They love the things we're getting back to in this run game. You're going to see a lot of 12 personnel, and if you would ask me who's the one person that's impressed me the most in all of this training camp thus far, my answer would be Harold Fannin.
Did you see the electronic measurement thing in the Hall of Fame game yesterday by any chance?
I saw the graphic of it where it's I did.
So I saw the same thing, and my thought was, well, it's still based on the spot by the ref. Can we re-spot the ball, or how's that work?
So I'm with you 100%. The issue is not the fact that you had people out there with chains. The issue is where the ball was spotted. As we've seen people run in from the sideline, and they have no idea if they're running straight or not, and typically they're usually not. So I don't mind the chain. To me, it's got to be accompanied by either cameras that place the ball or whatever the heck it is that they do in tennis, where you get those cool kind of computer graphics, but it's always right for some reason. That's what it needs to be in the NFL. Because if it's based still on human spotting the ball, I don't care that there's, we know exactly what 10 yards is. I'm pretty sure we knew that with the chain game. But if there's some kind of a chip in the ball where they triangulate and they can know exactly where the ball should be, that's a different story to me, and that will bring more accuracy.
Nathan Zagura, find him on Twitter at Nathan Zagura, clearly. Nathan, thank you very much for the time.
All right, before I go, though, what was your Taco Bell order specifically?
It was four tacos. I got four soft tacos. That's it. Swear to God.
Supreme?
No.
Wow. An upset. Right.
Fresca style? Look at you.
What's Fresca style? What's that mean?
Well, it was a thing. I don't know if it's a thing anymore. It's been a while since I've been to Taco Bell, although I do love it. That's where they would just be like the tortilla, the meat, lettuce, and the pico de gallo. So no cheese, no sour cream, you know.
Yeah, I just got the regular ones and went through and we moved on with it. Of course, I'm getting texts about certain people not believing that. Check your phone, Nathan.
I still think you ate the meat. If I had a dollar I could put down on that, I'd say maybe a little scoop, a little tasty meat for you.
No micro bets.
You're buying into, yeah, I got me on a class A, allegedly maybe in some trouble. You're buying into the stereotype, Nathan. That's all I'm going to say right now, and I will address the issue on the other side of this break.
I would have eaten the meat.
Oh, God. Nathan, thank you for the time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Nathan Zagura. I'm getting people on the internet. What about 9 for 9? I'm glad that Shador went 9 for 9. It's not about the stats, guys. It's not about the stats. It's not about that in camp. It wasn't about that with Johnny, and it wasn't about anybody else. It was about how can you digest the offense. And obviously, I mean, he could throw a ball to nobody. It doesn't mean that he threw the wrong pass. You don't know.
I don't know.
In
right.
team sessions.
It is silly, especially when we just wait for the preseason games.
Because I could look at it and go,
which still are not indicative of actual games, but it's still a much better resource.
He could throw a pass. I mean, you guys remember the Bears game in December. Okay, 2 years ago, Bears in December, they came back, they won that game. They really had no business winning that game. Remember the one play that Joe Flacco got mad at Cedric Tillman on? Because it's like, man, you ran the wrong route. And then when they had the NFL films on it, Kevin's like, Cedric, dude, it's December. What are you doing? So we could be in camp right now, and he could throw just some fluttering nothing to somebody there because the guy ain't there. We don't know. We don't know. But you know what does count? Flip right double X jet. 36 counter naked waggle at 7 X quarter on 1. Ready effing break. That is what counts.
I was hoping you wouldn't self-censor there. Come on.
Now you gotta.
The big deal, by the way.
Well,
big deal.
If Mitch has his way, I would have just said it and would have been all over the place. But that's neither here nor there. Go ahead.
Guys, I think we're underselling the fact that Nathan Zagura, the voice of the Cleveland Browns radio network. We hear him week in and week out. He has seen more training camps than you can imagine. He knows what's good. He knows what's bad. He just came on the air and said Shador Sanders has
deserves
earned
first team reps.
He said earned
first team reps. Oh,
it's
the same thing.
Reps.
That is the same thing. Earns and deserves is the same
thing.
But
I think it's a big deal. I think that is a big deal because
you bet you're,
do we know what we're watching?
I think we're code orange here,
folks. He's talking to coaches as he's I saw him the other day. He was walking off the field having a conversation with one of the coaches. And I'm like, all right, so Nathan's talking to these guys. And for all the fans that think the Browns are sabotaging him, I'll tell you what, for him to 1 week in have people saying that leads me to believe he's going to get that opportunity. And get ready, because the preseason games, you know Joe Flacco's not playing. Mm-hmm. At least against, who is it here
he's
coming up next
chance.
Week? Carolina. Like, let's go. Let's go.
Yes, there's going to be a chance here. And I'm excited for Shador Sanders, and I think a lot of other people should. Which there has been, you know, I'm in a weird spot because I'm like, man, I don't want to fall in love with the argument. I don't want to do what I think a lot of people have done over the last 4 years of his career, which is become addicted to the argument over him. Because then I think I'm going to start, like, in a way, you almost start rooting for his downfall. And I don't want that to happen because I think the Browns are giving him every opportunity. So if I'm sitting there saying the Browns are giving him every opportunity, Ken, no, they're not. Yes, the Browns are giving him every opportunity. Ken, no,
they're not.
Okay, well, if he goes out there and he sucks up the room, then I'm going, see, he's getting what he's there. No. I don't want that to happen because I liked him coming out of college, and I don't think he should have been a fifth-round pick. I think he should have been obviously much higher.
We both did. But
we both thought that. And I do think his ceiling is higher than Dillon Gabriel's, for crying out loud. And I think he should be ahead of Dillon Gabriel. Think that. That's where we're at.
I think it shows you that there is growth there. And Just look, the highlights, if you just take the highlights, it's so silly. We all understand, or most of us should. Most level-headed Browns fans who do want the best for the Browns and want one of these guys to emerge. Like the highlights, me, Shadors have been the best. They have been the best. Doesn't mean that doesn't necessarily equate to anything.
Yes.
It's against his own teammates. It's not exactly, you know, they can't tackle him. They can't come and sack him like the guys will be coming after him on the defensive lines in the joint practice of the preseason games. Okay, so I don't know how much of this is real. But compared to Dillon Gabriel, we've seen very little of Kenny Pickett, obviously. And, you know, Joe Flacco. I'll tell you, the highlights I've seen from Joe Flacco are nimble Joe in his 40s being able to scramble around a little bit.
We got Kevin Stefanski on Afternoon Drive right after practice today. More about Afternoon Drive possibly coming up before coming in hot at 9:43. I think we've tracked down some audio. We've been accused of high crimes here on The Fan by a certain host, and we will play that audio. Keith found it. Okay, we'll play that.
Do we know that host's name, though?
Coming up at 9:43. Well, some people got it mixed up. I thought it was the guy with the beard who's about 6'4", 6'5". Apparently, it's not. It's not. It's the guy who fell in love with golf. And we'll talk about that coming up at around 9:43, because if we do anything, we might do it poorly, but we didn't steal anything from anybody. We were accused of theft. Also, another controversy coming up here in just a few moments. Also, Terry McLaurin, 30 years old, going on 30 years old. I think the Browns, they want to get younger. And right now, I'm in a holding pattern, guys. I got to be frank. Andrew Berry's made good trades for wide receivers. He hasn't drafted well, but he's made good trades for wide receivers. I know what Denzel Ward posted. I know that he would like Terry McLaurin. They're Ohio State guys. I'm in a holding pattern with trading away any assets. It's not about salary cap stuff. It's not about Deshaun Watson's contract. It's that I hope that one of these young guys work out, and then maybe we'll see what happens with Andrew Berry. I'm not sure. I know his track record isn't that great right now, drafting guys, and I need every asset I can, because if it's Andrew, okay, I need picks. If it's somebody else, okay, I need picks. And I don't think that Terry McLaurin's career syncs up with where the Browns are at right now. Because I think that this year we're kind of in this holding pattern of what the Browns are going to be. And then I think next year we're really trying to build of something here at the bottom. We'll have a couple of guys there. We'll obviously have Myles Garrett. But we are really trying to rebuild from the bottom up going into next year. And you're hoping to do that with either Shador Sanders, Dillon Gabriel, or more than likely, as they sit right now, a first overall or top five quarterback, depending on what you do with that other draft pick. So because of that, I can't go that direction on Terry McLaurin, even though his name excites me. I think you and I have not defended him, but we have said he's the most underrated, one of the most underrated players, and certainly maybe the most underrated wide receiver in all the NFL. I'm a big fan of Terry McLaurin, but he's at an age right now where it just snuck up on me. He's 29. He's going to be 30. I don't think that timeline of Terry adds up with me and adds up with the Browns, I should say. There's another theory that's out there. I brought up the story that I ate Taco Bell shirtless right when I brought in Nathan. Keith has texted me and Nathan, our boss Keith, and believes I'm lying to all you people that I ate the sauce and beef from the taco off my bare stomach. Gut, if you will. My answer is, I certainly did not eat the sauce and beef from the taco off my stomach. First off, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't like I ate a bite of the taco and the whole taco came spilling out on my bare gut. Because I had to take, guys,
the
I had to take my shirt off.
Because
it was after a long, hot practice in Streetsboro, Ohio. So I was shirtless. I didn't want my wife to see me that way because, I mean, if you want me to be brutally honest with you, it's been 2 weeks since the surgery, and I'm going to tell you what I got going on tonight, so I'm going to let you know that. Second of all, I don't want her to see me that way because I think eating shirtless is pretty gross. I'll
take it out for a test drive.
Plus, I was sweaty. So I don't want anybody to see me that way. And I'm not going to eat off my bare, sweaty stomach.
I would have eaten the meat.
Nathan is in much better shape than me and is not grotesque like I am. I'm not contributing to that. Plus, guys, like, I have zero soul. I have a soul. I have zero self-respect, and I have even less self-esteem. I do everything I can to make sure my sons don't end up looking like me. I'm not going to pull that behavior in front of my son that I'm going to eat taco drippings off my own sweaty gut at dinner.
You made me do this, you bitch!
It's not going to happen.
Because apparently I'm the bad boy.
Boy, courageous to do that right before coming in hot. Say that much.
Thank you very much. Well, yeah, people sit there and they go, oh, this will really hurt his feelings. Guys, I don't have feelings anymore, okay? I don't. I tell you guys about my mom's ashes kept in a cardboard box in my office. For the love of God. You think you telling me I like Twinkies is going to hurt me? No. I'm not John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Go try to get somebody else. Yes.